You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
We're looking draft today.
Please do the disclaimer,
Andy,
first.
This is not an endorsement of this particular quarterback for a position in the Cleveland Browns quarterback position group. This is just information telling you who's available and why some people think he might be good and why some people think he might be bad.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Okay.
This is a tough one for everybody here in the state of Ohio.
Okay.
Because we're taking a look at Will Howard of the Ohio State Buckeyes today.
Yippers.
And Will Howard just won a national championship as quarterback of the Ohio State Buckeyes, which has led to people calling our show and saying you should draft him in the first round. And people saying you should draft him in the third round. Or you should just bring him in the fifth round. Or whenever you can get him, just bring him in because he's the guy. Well, maybe he will be the guy. You never know. Big kid, 6'4", 235. He's from Downington, PA, over in eastern Pennsylvania. Now here's one thing. Can I go Akili Smith on you here?
Ooh, sure.
When he was at Kansas State, he was the starter for 1 year. Okay? He backed up, Dan, you ready? Skylar Thompson.
Yeah.
Dan makes fun of Skylar Thompson all the time. For 2 years, and then he split with Adrian Martinez as a junior. He was really their starting quarterback as a senior.
Okay.
And he left, and he took visits to Ohio State, Miami, and USC, and he picked Ohio State.
Yay!
And it was interesting because he was 12-5 at Kansas State. You know, they're not a big football power, but he played okay.
Right.
But he made this quote, and I liked this quote. And this is after he committed to the Buckeyes. He said, at the end of the day, I want to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. And I feel like the best place to stick as a quarterback in the NFL, is as a first or second round pick in the NFL draft. So going to Ohio State gives me a chance to make a jump and leap into that conversation.
And he did.
That's a pretty smart kid.
He did.
Yeah. That was a pretty well thought out move because he could have stayed at Kansas State, but he didn't. And after his senior year, the general consensus that he said he was hearing was that he was a third to sixth round pick.
Yep.
And he decided to try and improve that by going somewhere where he thought he could compete for a national championship. By God, the kid nailed it, didn't he?
He did. He really did.
I give him a lot of credit. He nailed it. And I thought, that's really good. I thought, how many kids think that out like that? Because those quotes were from before.
Right.
That's outstanding. Good for him. Now the issue is this. I looked like crazy at a bunch of different stuff. We're not even going to talk about his stats. He won a national championship, Andy. He shows he can win, right?
Right.
And he did well here at Ohio State, right?
Yep.
I mean,
yes,
he threw the ball well, and he did a great job.
And his career numbers went through the roof.
Through the roof, because at Kansas State, he was okay.
And he had probably the best player in college football.
With him.
Yes.
At wide receiver here.
Yes.
Well, guess what? You're supposed to have good players with you. I've never understood that. Well, he only is surrounded by good talent. Yeah, well, you're supposed, that's the idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Dan? Ready to get Dan excited? Former Packer quarterback Kurt Benkert. Remember him?
Of course.
He was a backup for like 5 years.
Singer for what band?
He makes footballs now. And he does other things, and he does a lot of stuff on social media.
He works at NADA?
Said this about Will Howard. He said, okay. I found my Will Howard comp. Andy, you ready?
Yeah, who is it?
Young Joe Flacco.
Oh.
He said he can make any throw on the field. He's athletic enough to move the chains on third down, and he's willing to stand and deliver with pressure in his face.
That's true. I don't know that he can make every throw on the field, though. And this is somebody that watched every game.
Yeah, I know. You watched every one. Banker continued. He gets a little antsy.
Yeah, early from time games to time. Too, especially. Yeah.
And some of his throws that he misses on are because he tries to throw it too early. And he said, I could actually see him being a mid-round draft pick to somewhere like Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I could see that too. Can't you?
Yeah, I can actually. I can. Then, yeah, I checked some other different things. And this is the thing with him that makes me wonder, Andy.
Okay.
There's no consensus. The Draft Network called Will Howard a day two pick and a winning starter. Okay, that's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Day two, you go second, third round. That'd be good. Mm-hmm. Bleacher Report, before the playoffs started, the college football playoffs, Bleacher Report had him ranked 11th in this quarterback class and called him Mason Rudolph.
I think he's better than Mason Rudolph, but keep going.
The Pro Football Network have him a fifth-round pick. ESPN has him ranked as the seventh quarterback in this class.
Drafted where?
Just ranked him seventh. Hmm. The NFL Rookie Watch has him as the fourth-ranked quarterback and a possible first-round pick.
Ooh. Who is that?
The Rookie Watch. The NFL Rookie Watch.
Okay.
And CBS did a story with anonymous scouts, and it was earlier this week, CBS.com put it out, CBSSports.com. Mm-hmm. A story with anonymous NFL scouts earlier this week, and the NFL scouts talked about guys who they think will be in the first round all the way to day three picks. So anybody, right?
Mm-hmm.
They mentioned 11 quarterbacks. Did not mention Will Howard.
Who was this?
CBS Sports.
They don't know what they're talking about. I only trust them more than anybody else.
Really? That's your go-to. This is the weird thing about Will Howard, and I wonder how winning a national championship might have skewed things. Because here, NFL Rookie Watch, whatever that is, possible first-round pick. Hmm. CBS doesn't even mention him. In a story written with input from anonymous scouts and talking about first rounders all the way through day three picks. In other words, guys who are going to get drafted, and they don't mention him. So what the hey? Where is he really? I don't know, but you know what? I like guys who can win. And I liked watching him play this year. I thought it was pretty good. And I honestly think Will Howard, depending on what the Browns do, could be a guy. You know, let's just say they end up, you know, signing one of these veteran free agents that we've talked about, and they think that he's their guy for a year or five, okay, depending on who that guy is. I think Will Howard would be a really good guy to bring in if you can get him in the third round, fourth round, and see what you have.
If he is there at 67, I'm taking him.
At the end of the second round?
That's
the first pick in the third. That's your second pick in the third round.
Yeah. That's your first pick in the third round. You still have 93.
Your first, and it's second overall, right? Is that it?
No, it's our third pick.
Right. But
so we have.
It's the second pick in the third round, I think.
Yeah. So we have the second pick overall. Yeah. We have the 33rd pick overall, which is the first of the second round. And then the 67th pick, which is the second pick in the third round. Right. Is that what you just said? Yeah.
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 So, I just think he might be the most polarizing quarterback in the draft. And more so than, you know, the guys at the top. Everybody's wondering, can Cam Ward play? Can Shedeur Sanders play? Should they be a top, the number one pick? Should they be a second pick? Well, one thing we know, those guys are going to go top 10. I mean, that question, I think, is pretty much off the table.
Right.
Those two guys are going to be top 10 picks by somebody. Giants, Raiders, somebody might trade up. You know, will Tennessee...
And they're 50-50, right?
Was well, sure. Said you never, you mean, never know.
Everybody's 50-50.
Right. Think about it. But I think Will Howard is a really interesting story in this draft because some folks think he could go on the low end of the first round. And, you know, a former NFL quarterback thinks he's a young Joe Flacco. For the record, Joe was the 18th pick in the 2008 draft from Delaware. And he had transferred from Pitt. So, you know, he went transferred out of Pitt, didn't work there, went to a smaller school, refined his game, worked on it. And in a situation where he was on a good team, was a pretty good quarterback for a long period of time. And, of course, still playing. That's interesting. And that, to me, Andy, is the type of guy that I think is a real possibility for the Browns. All right, you take somebody in the second round, you take somebody in the third round, and you hope, because you don't have the track record for it, to think that you're smarter than everybody else. And you got a guy there who you can develop in a year or three, and he becomes your starting quarterback. You know, like Jordan Love was a low first-round pick. Aaron Rodgers was a low first-round pick who was passed over by everybody. Brett Favre was a second-round pick. Derek Carr, second-round pick. And maybe they get lucky there if they don't like one of those guys for the second pick overall. And if they do like one, they're going to take one. I mean, we all need to wrap our heads around that. If they like Sanders or they like Cam Ward, they're going to take him at two. And if they don't like him, that's where they're going to have to get creative.
So let me ask you this. Are you good with Will Howard if they draft him?
Well, my good form for what? See, that's the question.
Yeah, not a developmental quarterback who could see time if the free agent quarterback doesn't work out. That's where I see it.
Yes.
Or is going to have the option.
I'm okay with that.
I am too.
Yeah. I'm okay with that.
Only because I don't want Shedeur Sanders, or it's not that, you know, I don't want a draft pick at two. It's more about developing and having a little bit more patience in this thing. And the thing that
he's not a young guy.
No,
obviously.
But I think the thing I like about Will Howard was the mistakes that he made in the beginning of the season corrected themselves by the end of the season.
He played a lot better as the season went on.
And, Andy,
he was nails during the prove it or shut up and get out of here time of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, the Buckeyes look good, and he led them to looking good. That's what the quarterback is supposed to do, is lead a good football team and hopefully be able to make plays. And he made some plays. I just think he's the most polarizing quarterback in this draft. And I would not be the least bit, I wouldn't mind it at all, if he came to the Browns under the scenario that you laid out, which is you didn't use your first-round pick on him, you got him in the second, or you got him in the third, or you traded back up into the second, however you get him outside of the first round, and then you hope that he develops into something. Now, the fear might be that he becomes Mason Rudolph. And what's Mason Rudolph? Mason's okay. I mean, he could win some games for you. That he becomes Will Levis, you know? Tennessee thought they had something in Will Levis. Well, that didn't work out too well this year. But I think he's the most polarizing quarterback in this draft, and some team might really reach for him, or he could drop to the fifth round.
I know you don't want to hear this. I like him more than I like J.J. McCarthy. I do. You can say whatever you want.
You're the only one, but that's okay.
I don't care. Exactly. I don't care.
That's okay. I would give up the second pick for J.J. McCarthy. I would not draft Will Howard with the second pick.
No, I wouldn't either. But then again, I wouldn't have picked J.J. McCarthy as high as he got picked. So it's just like, I mean, it's preference. It's what you like. And I also like the team that Will Howard had around him better than I like the team that J.J. McCarthy, despite the fact that they're national champs. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Maybe it's the resurrection factor, the Buckeyes had this year, that you had a chance to come back and overcome that loss. You know, you wonder what it would have looked like if McCarthy wouldn't beat Ohio State. You know, you wonder what it would have looked like in that scenario. So, I, again, this is me, and this is kind of Ohio State, Michigan. So I'm not going to lie; I kind of get that too. just saying. I'm not a huge J.J. McCarthy.
You're honest about it.
I'm not a huge J.J. McCarthy fan. I haven't been.
A lot of folks in the NFL seem to be.
Yeah, I know. I don't seem to be in that group. All right, Matt Collar's going to join us a little bit, but let me go back and ask you. I mean, you heard what I said about Will Howard. You heard it, right? Is he an NFL caliber quarterback, or is am I just being a Buckeye guy? You help me. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Baskin and Phelps. 92.3 The Fan. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. He is Jeff Phelps. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Again, for informational purposes only.
Only. Just here to inform and you know, maybe once in a while entertain.
Like I said, I wouldn't have any problem. I'm not picking him at number two. But if the Browns took Will Howard and they brought in a free agent quarterback, I'd be okay with it. I don't have a problem with it. I don't. And I don't know that I'm taking him in the second round either. So, you know, would I take him with that first pick in the third round? Yeah, I think I would. No matter who they draft.
That might be high, but if you want him, you'd probably have to get him there.
You have two picks in the third round.
Yeah, you might have to take him where you're talking about. Well, see, all it takes is one team.
Why would it be high, though? What if he has a great combine?
Well, no, I mean that. A lot of folks think that he's not going until the fourth or fifth, and other folks think he's borderline first.
It's weird. You had him all over the place.
I couldn't believe it when I looked it all up. I'm like, wait, are these guys, CBS doesn't even mention him? And it was CBS talking to scouts, and they didn't have. They mentioned 11 quarterbacks, and Will Howard wasn't one of them. And another thing had him like borderline, you know, possible first rounder.
The thing about Will Howard that I like is I just think he learned this year as the season went on. I had more confidence in him as they continued to play, and I had more confidence in him being able to rebound from that first Oregon loss. Now, I know the Michigan game didn't work out well, but I don't think people blame him for the Michigan loss. I think they blame the play calling for the Michigan loss. And you know, it's just really curious that when you lay it out that some people, like you had one group that said he shouldn't be drafted.
All over the board.
He is. That's why I think he can
from
solidify
first
himself.
Round to not being in the draft.
He'll be able to.
Which I don't know how the scouts, nobody mentioned. I mean, that to me screams somebody fell through the cracks here. But he was not mentioned in a story where they mentioned 11 quarterbacks coming out in this draft.
I don't know. And maybe I just have more passion for him because he played for Ohio State. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I'm not scared of my own self to say that.
You can't hide that, nor do you try to. So
no, I'm not trying to. Yeah,
And he's the quarterback, the college quarterback, that you saw more than anybody else. So that's, I understand.
Yeah, and I thought he grew as the season went on.
I agree with you.
Thought he was a leader. I thought he figured out a way to utilize the number one, you know, wide receiver in the country when the play calling was there, and that they realized, hey, we need to get this done. And let's face it, he had two good running backs too. That didn't hurt him. And he ran the ball later in the season, I thought, in crucial situations when he needed to. In the beginning of the year, it felt forced to me. And by the end of the year, I was like, okay, he's got this. I think he understands it. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't know if he's a quarterback that's going to lead you to a Super Bowl. I'll be the first to say that. But I'll go back to the all-time reference on that, right? And you know what that is.
I have a text from a Michigan fan.
Oh, tell Baskin shut up. Well, what is it?
Andy doesn't think people blame Will Howard for the Michigan game?
I don't. I don't blame him, and I watched every one of those.
Yes, they blame the play calling, but he threw two massive interceptions in that game, one directly for a score, basically. Yep. He did not look good with pressure in his face all day.
Well, that's too bad. Hang on. I can't.
That's from a Michigan fan.
Yeah, it's too bad. I can't hear him over the national championship.
Sits down the hallway.
Oh, figures. I don't know. Ask him. Can you ask him, I ordered a bunch of national championship t-shirts. Can you bring those to me? I sent them to your office, too.
And Andy,
mm-hmm.
Thus the huge debate about Will Howard. Some people think he's great, and some people think, oh, absolutely not. And that's why, to me, he might be the most fascinating quarterback in this draft. Thank you very much.
Yes.
There it is.
And there you have also, when you win a national championship, you know, when you had a blip on the radar, I mean, it's just a blip. It's gone. I don't even see it anymore. Maybe I'll see it when they play early on in the season when the insignificant game happens. I'm kidding. The game is significant. Stop it. Greg and Kent. Hi, Greg. How are you?
Jeff, Andy, pretty good.
Hi, Greg.
It's a good word.
I totally agree with you on the Will Howard. I'm not a big Ohio State fan, but after watching the playoffs and him going against some great talent, he looked very well. I think it would be well-positioned if we draft him and maybe sign like a Joe Flacco guy. He already knows the offense. Joe Flacco loves football. He's going to want to be maybe a coach later. This could be a way to show him how to bring up talent and coach a younger quarterback, set us up for success in the future. And then the second-round pick, we could take a generational talent that we could build around. And by the time Will Howard comes in, it'd be a good setup. I mean, he's got really good height and attributes and everything. I think it'd be a great fit.
Greg, a lot of love for that phone call. I don't know that I want Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco kind of guy. Maybe a little younger would be. I'd be okay with that, especially someone that can not throw as many interceptions. I'd be okay with that, too. You okay with that?
Okay.
Cool Ray, Bedford. Cool Ray.
Hi, Cool Ray.
Hey, hi. How you guys doing today?
Good, good. What you got?
Well, let me say this to y'all families. Happy Valentine's Day to your wives or girlfriends or whatever y'all got going on, man.
So. Thanks.
Thanks. Thanks, Corey. Hopefully not both.
The wrong answer there would have been both, so yeah, that's good.
So, Will Howard, I don't think he's a starting quarterback. I watch a lot of college football, and I'm a huge Alabama fan. So I would say this. Since the transfer portal, I ask myself this all the time. What quarterback in college football has done more with less?
Since the transfer portal?
Since the transfer portal, because we know guys are jumping around and stuff like that. But what quarterback has done more with less? And the only quarterback I keep coming up with is Shedeur Sanders. Colorado was nothing. Then he won enough. It won some games the first year, and they went to the bowl game.
Yeah, not very many that first year. You're right.
And he's done.
Then they improved.
Right, and he's done more with less. Because even with we know the offensive line was soft, and the defensive line need help. He still took that team. So when you look at team, and I don't even want Monroe from Alabama. Like, I think he's not going to be a good quarterback. Forget about the tools that you can't do. It's just you, Ohio State, Alabama, Tennessee, those guys got their third strings are NFL prospects. So you couldn't even go to the playoffs. You couldn't do that. So I just don't – any team that has all these five-star athletes, it seems to me, if you look at the draft, those quarterbacks tend not to be the best ones coming out. So you have to go get Shedeur Sanders in the first round and then start building up. And for people to come here and say you can find a generational talent in later rounds, that only happened once, and that's Tom Brady.
I agree. That's the name that I always think of, too, right? And if you, right. In a lot of ways, if you look at Will Howard, maybe you'd be looking at him in the same way. Right? Is that fair, Corey? Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but at the same time, you got to look at the level of teammates that he had compared to what other quarterbacks had to deal with to get there. So, because when you get to the NFL, everybody's going to be great. Every position is great, regardless of what we think of the quarterback. Every position is great.
Mm-hmm.
So if he couldn't, and yeah, you won a national championship, and you know Ohio State did their thing, but at the end of the day, I just don't think he's the guy. I don't think he's what we need here in Ohio, and people got to get off that local train and the Homer syndrome.
Well, I think part of it, and you said you watch a lot, so thank you, Corey. I just...
Want Shedeur.
Yeah. If Shedeur can play and they love him, I'm in, if that's what they want to do it too. And yeah, we all believe that Shedeur is going to be here for 4 to 5 years because that's the commitment I think you got to give. And we haven't seen it, right? Give me a quarterback that's been here 4 or 5 years. Help me.
Andy.
Jeff.
I'm not going to say anything about your use of the word love today.
It's all about love.
You know why? Yes.
Why? Because it's Valentine's Day.
That's exactly right.
I understand that.
Love is in the air today, Andy.
All right, let's go to the best location in the nation. Cleveland Heights. Heights, hi, Jackson.
Heights, hi.
Hi, Jackson.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, Jackson.
Man, like you said, on a day that's supposed to be about love, I feel bad bringing so much hate, but Will Howard isn't the guy. Like, I, a lot of people are so up on him because of the playoff run, and that's just recency bias. I mean, this guy's a fifth-year player. Like, he should have came into Ohio State ready to go. And, I mean, anytime the game was on the line and he had the opportunity to make a drive to win the game, like, he shut down. Like, that's not a quarterback.
Wait, what are you talking about? They beat Notre Dame, Texas, Oregon, Tennessee in a row. Those are all highly ranked teams.
Pretty good run, Jackson.
Yeah, what do you mean he wasn't ready?
I'm talking about the Oregon game when he had the chance to make a play to get them in field goal position.
The first time, it was there. Yeah, I get it, man. And again, he's in college. But when he had a second chance against Oregon, there was no hesitation there. And in the NFL, sometimes you get a second chance against teams. Keep going.
Yeah, and he had the best weapons as receivers in the NCAA. I mean,
and they utilized them, and they won a national championship on that. Totally agree with you on that. Good call on that. Okay, keep going. Sorry.
And I mean, I'm talking about that Oregon drive. I'm talking about that
one
Michigan
drive against Oregon. So they lost to the number two team in the country at the time by 1 point at the end of the game. Okay.
And the Michigan drive where he had an opportunity to make a few plays to get continue on the drive and threw him away. Like that's you want him a home.
You want the perfect quarterback. That's what you want, right? That's what you're looking for. Because if you find him, let me know when you find him, because I'd love to have him too. Even Patrick Mahomes wasn't the perfect quarterback in the Super Bowl.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you want a guy in the room who can make a play when the game's on the line. There was no time in that playoff where the game was on the line. They were up by several scores. Granted, the Texas game was kind of close, but luckily it got within they got some space on that 90-yard plus fumble return. So, I mean, he's never really made a play when the game was on the line this whole season. I feel like that's a fair statement to say.
And the Penn State game was pretty close. I mean, they needed – what were they up in that game? They were up 17-10, and then it was a 17-13 game. He got them down the field so Fielding could kick a field goal. Penn State was a top five team at the time too. So, all right, appreciate the phone call, Jackson. Clevelandites, go to the other side of Clevelandites.
Polarizing, Will Howard. Polarizing.
Do you want him? That's the question. Matt Collins is going to join us coming up here. We're going to talk about the Daytona 500, your Cleveland connection to the 500. Matt Collins up next right here, Baskin and Phelps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know what Sunday is, right?
Yes, February 16th.
2:30. Daytona International Speedway. That's what we're going to be talking about next. Because you know what's coming up. The Daytona 500. And Cleveland always has a connection as long as Matt Colic is concerned. Colic Racing, two big drivers in this one. Ty Dillon, AJ Allmendinger. They've got some pretty nice seats on the grid to start this thing. And Matt is on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Hello, my favorite trophy hunter. How are you?
What's going on, guys?
Hi, Matt.
Doing great.
How awesome is Daytona right now?
Guys, it couldn't be nicer. Well, one, you guys are up northeast Ohio. It's 80 degrees here. It's beautiful, and we're having a great week so far. I got down here on Tuesday, and we're looking for a fun day today. The trucks are racing tonight, and we got three cars running in the Xfinity race tomorrow night on Saturday, and then of course the big show, the Daytona 500 on Sunday. We've got two cars in that that race, so. Great way to start the season. It's so cool. I mean, auto racing, NASCAR, we're the only sport that has our Super Bowl, so to speak, in the first race, right at the beginning of the season. So, it starts off with a bang, and then, if you win the thing, one, you're in the playoffs, which happens in, October. But two, you're a legend. Everybody on the team, to win the Daytona 500 would really make you a legend for life. So it's really cool.
You're sitting pretty. Ty Dillon in row 4, AJ Allmendinger in row 7. Good cars, good equipment, good drivers. How do you temper your enthusiasm knowing that, you're 2 of 41 cars in the race, but you've got a real shot at this thing, man?
Yeah, well, the answer is we don't temper our enthusiasm.
Nice.
We're very enthusiastic, and it's cool. I can't even describe you guys. It's like, I keep using the word. Actually, I hate the fact that we refer to it as like a Super Bowl, but I don't know any other word to describe even the atmosphere. It couldn't be more crowded. So I told you, I got down here on Tuesday, and the RV, and I stay in a motorhome and, inside the track, all week. But the amount of people that are here, and again, it's only Friday right now, and happy Valentine's Day to you guys, by the way.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I feel special.
If that's not weird to say. But
we get it.
Whatever. Happy Valentine's Day. The atmosphere at this place is just electric. It's unbelievable. And it just stays that way for a week. And then especially on Sunday during the Daytona 500, you can't move. I know President Trump is coming in this year again. And so they've already heightened security and everything else. But it is an unbelievably electric atmosphere. And then when you couple that with the greatest race, like one of the biggest races in the world that we are competing in, that's where I almost pinch myself sometimes, where it's like, all right, well, not only do you get to go to like such a cool event, but we actually have a vested interest, and we actually have cars you know, that have my name on them in the race. And again, like I said, we have great starting spots. Our guys are good. We just feel really, really good this year about even our chances. I mean, somebody's going to win it. You guys, you know, I don't know how much you know about the racing, but at these super speedways, I mean, it's almost as if anybody can win. You know, a bunch of cars wreck, they wreck out. If you're just there at the end, just the way that these cars draft and the way that they're positioned, I mean, anything can happen. And then if you win this thing, man, it's like I said, it's legendary. It's cool.
World Matt, changes. Yeah.
Yeah. Matt, how does a guy who, you know, extremely successful business guy in Northeast Ohio find his way into where you are? I mean, you're not even, right, 10 years into this thing, right, between Xfinity, just since you got into NASCAR. And, I mean, as an owner, I got to think that ride is incredible, and you did it incredibly fast.
Yeah, we've definitely done it fast. I mean, this is our 10th season at College Racing, and I think we raced two seasons before I actually started a team. So I started College Racing. Actually, we started with one car in the Xfinity Series, and the only reason we did it was for leaf filter, like to just for marketing purposes and advertising, and to be a sponsor. So I actually started out as a sponsor. And then being competitive, and it was great. So being competitive and getting to know some of the other owners in NASCAR and getting to know the NASCAR executives. And, you know, I thought, you know, I think I can do this. And being entrepreneurial, it's like, I think I could compete with these guys. So how do we compete, and how do we do that? And so I started College Racing, and we started out with one car in the Xfinity Series, which turned into, you know, two cars, which turned into three cars. And then, you know, with the charter season, wanted to get into, you know, the big series. So, you know, got into Cup, bought two charters, which for those that don't know, or the listeners that don't know, I mean, it's like a franchise. So in NASCAR, they have what they call charters. There's 36 cars. So it guarantees you to be in the field every single week. So you have to buy them. So I bought two NASCAR Cup charters, and now we run every week. So we've got two cars in the Cup Series and then three cars in the Xfinity Series. So, yeah, I have five full-time drivers, full-time teams, you know, competing in NASCAR, and it's just it's the coolest thing ever.
Not too bad.
That is cool.
Yeah, not too bad for a guy that was just trying to sell some leaf filters to make sure that guys that were going up on ladders weren't killing themselves, right? Not too bad, huh?
That's right. You know, you got to sell a lot of leaf filter to go racing.
Speaking for guys on ladders everywhere, thank you, Matt.
Yes, that's true. Thank you for keeping us off the ladders. Yes.
Yeah. No. And so, I mean, you guys, leaf filter has grown. I know we're talking sports, but right. I mean, I look at business as sports. You know, somebody asked me, I had to do a talk, you know, to a group the other day here in Daytona, and they were asking me about, you know, why NASCAR, why racing, why athletics, you know, not any different than why I'm a minority owner in the Guardians. It's because you just love sports. You love athletics. You know, I'm 52 years old now, and I can't go out just like all of it. Like, we don't go out and play baseball and basketball and everything else, but we can be a part of, you know, get the competitive juices flowing, you know, by doing stuff like this and owning teams. And so I guess the older you get, that you're like, well, all right, I can't play, so I guess I could be a coach, or I guess, you know, I could be an owner. And then, you know, to be at the highest level, like the Guardians, like NASCAR, at the highest level of sports, is really it's exhilarating. It's super fun, and you get to watch other people enjoy it and have fun with it. So I just love it.
You need to explain something for me, Matt. And Matt Collick joining us from Collick Racing. You guys have been affiliated with Richard Childress Racing from a technical standpoint, right? And Ty Dillon is Richard's grandson, so he's driving for you.
Yep.
How does that work? Because Richard Childress Racing, clearly one of the premier teams for decades, you know, in NASCAR.
Yeah. So when I was actually starting college racing, so 10 years ago, it's kind of like one of those things where if we wanted to start a Major League Baseball team, you can't just start one. I mean, you gotta buy one. So even to start a NASCAR team, you have to have relationships. I mean, we had to pick one of three manufacturers, so Chevrolet or Toyota or Ford. And so we had to meet with them, and then we had to have what we call, which is our relationship with RCR and Richard Childress, is a technical alliance where they, back then, 10 years ago, where they put together the cars and then we buy their engines and, you know, we do that. Since that time, things have changed as far as we've got brand new cars and we actually put the cars together, but we do still have an alliance, you know, with Richard Childress Racing. But it's evolved into more of a partnership where we have gotten both of our teams, like we have two drivers, one Ty Dillon and A.J. Allmendinger, and then they have two drivers, so they have two teams, which is Kyle Busch and Austin Dillon. So, yes, Austin Dillon and Ty Dillon are the grandsons of Richard, so it even helps us work more closely together. Our race shops are right next to each other. So all of our guys work together, guys and girls, like work together anyway. But now we've really on purpose, you know, formed a more of a partnership and teamwork.
That's cool.
You know, with RCR, so it helps.
Yeah, that's really cool.
We always say four cars is better than two.
Makes sense.
So the more information you can get, the more teammates you can have, and so we're excited about it.
Hey, Matt, are we any closer to getting a race here in Cleveland?
No. No. We keep talking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, the only place we could do it is like Burke Lakefront. And
well, there might be plenty of room if they get rid of that building next to it. On the other side.
Don't go there.
On the other side of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
No, we would love to. You know, I think the people of Cleveland would love to. NASCAR would love to. But so we do talk about it and have talked to David Gilbert, has gotten involved in, mm-hmm. in bringing a race to Cleveland. But, you know, it's just talks and we're trying. We actually are trying. So we're not shy about the fact that we would love to have that happen. And we're still working on it.
All right, well, keep working. And if you win the Harley J. Earl, are you going to come into the studio so we can see it?
Yes, we will.
Okay. I want to see that trophy. I want you.
I know.
I want you to get that trophy. You've earned it.
That'd be awesome.
Let's go.
Well, we're going to do our best.
Okay.
Well, I actually won't have anything to do with it. It's up to the drivers. But
Here's what you should do. You should get on the headsets in the middle of the race and go faster, go faster. That's probably some good.
Go.
That's good coaching.
That's good coaching.
What are you going so slow? Yeah. No, they don't want me talking during the race. So.
That's all right. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Oh no, I was just going to say thank you. We appreciate it. You know, we're rooting for you, and we'll be rooting for the 10 and the 16 all weekend long.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having
me. We'll talk to you soon. All right, Matt Colleg, owner of Colleg Racing, give you someone to root for with a Cleveland tie down there at the Daytona 500. Of course, he was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.